I'm Mike Willen Smith, and this is House Rules. Welcome to episode 23. Called the matriarch of maximalism, interior designer, businesswoman, fashion designer, artist, collector, and influencer, Iris Apfel passed away at the age of 102 in early March. For those of us who didn't really know all that much about her, we recognize her because of her eccentric style. She's the smiling centenarian with the glamorous over-the-top outfits, layers of costume jewelry, and round, oversized glasses. If you didn't know who I was talking about at first, now you do. She referred to herself as a geriatric starlet, an accidental icon, and it's been said that she's the originator of personal style, where more is more. When it comes to her style philosophy, she said, "I like big and bold and a lot of pizzazz." Her personal style was incredible, eccentric, ostentatious, somehow still with an approachable opulence. You just wanted to look at her. She was an innovator and an icon. In a documentary called Iris, she said, "In the 40s, I was probably the first woman to wear jeans. All of a sudden, I had a vision. I said, wouldn't it be wonderful if I had, this sounds crazy, but a big gingham turban and very large hoop earrings I could wear with a nice crisp shirt and a pair of jeans." She was imagining the mix, the surprising style that would result from pairing what's thought of as men's pants with playful gingham in the form of a turban, exaggerated jewelry, and a shirt that everyone had in their closet. Although this story is all about fashion and wardrobe, it has everything to do with decorating. By the end of today's episode, you'll have three ways to rekindle your relationship with your personal style when it comes to both your clothes and your decor, which will lead to better, more confident styling decisions. A few years ago, I purchased a book called Classic Style, Hand It Down, Dress It Up, Wear It Out. It was by Kate Shelter. I originally purchased a copy for my niece who was going off to college, but of course, I brought the book home and started reading it, and I had to order a copy for myself. I found myself highlighting phrases in the book, not because they helped me in my personal wardrobe, although they did, but more because of how they translated into a decorating style. All of decorating is about relationships. Relationships are created across all aspects of every decision you make: color, pattern, scale, shape, and so much more. Sometimes when decorating truths get a little woo-woo, I'll compare it to styling an outfit. Have you ever purchased a new pair of jeans, maybe something with a fresh silhouette or cut that you don't usually wear? That's great, but we all know that jeans alone don't create a style. Your personal style begins to show up the moment you pair the jeans with another piece, maybe a top. More opportunities to create a unique style happen as you make more choices and add to your outfit. Maybe you add a pair of booties and earrings and an overcoat. The more unexpected your style, the more surprising the pairings. The safer your style, the more predictable the pairings. Having risky or funky style isn't right or wrong. It's just information to use and apply to your own options. This concept is the same for decorating. People will often ask me how to mix styles in their home, and the very first step is to actually own individual items with an instantly obvious style. You can't mix styles if nothing you own possesses an identifiable style. Let me be clear. If you want others to recognize that you're mixing styles, you have to mix items with a recognizable style. For Iris Apfel, one day that meant wearing men's jeans, a gingham turban, gigantic hoop earrings, and a crisp shirt. In your wardrobe, that might mean pairing bootcut jeans with stilettos, a slouchy white tee, and a worn leather moto jacket. In your room, that might mean using a modern white tulip table, maybe you got from Amazon, paired with a couple of masculine tufted vintage leather wingback chairs from the local antique mall, and a classic tuxedo style slip-covered daybed with old wood shutters and a mouillé style floor lamp. Now we've got a unique style achieved by mixing styles. Anyone can have good taste by purchasing something that looks great on the hanger or in a catalog, but style requires you to create combinations, combining different eras, silhouettes, textures, colors, sizes, and contrast creates style possibilities. That means if you desire a mix of styles in your home, you'll want to include individual items that have a strong, identifiable style and presence on their own. Unique style requires unique combinations. Classic style requires classic combinations. And quirky style requires quirky combinations. The possibilities are endless, and of course, you get to decide what you like. Pieces with presence combined together create a personal style. But what if you feel distant from your personal style? Kate Shelter says, "Studying the pieces I gravitate toward has helped me maintain an even keel and keep my integrity in the midst of an industry built on trends." I believe in studying the pieces that we gravitate toward. What a lovely way to get reacquainted with ourselves and our style. I think it's such a fun practice, and if you're part of the Cozy community, you already have access to a mini course that I taught on 12 ways to rediscover your personal style. And today, I'm going to share 3 ways. The better you know yourself, the more you know your style. And I want to tell you, your style isn't lost. It doesn't need to be found, but it might be neglected or hidden, or maybe it's just changed over time. 3 ways to remind yourself of your style are coming. And of course, since I see the world through house-colored glasses, we're going to be talking about decor, but this could apply to your wardrobe as well. Okay, number 1 is to track your timeless classics. 27 years ago, I purchased a simple white basset dresser from JCPenney's for $300 to use in the nursery as a changing table and storage for our firstborn son. Since then, as we've moved to different houses, that dresser has been put to various uses. We've had it in the kitchen as storage. We've had it at the back door as a drop zone. It's been in our bathroom holding towels. It went back to a bedroom as an actual dresser. It's been in the foyer as a pretty landing area. At our last house, it was in the family room where we stored DVDs. In our current house, it started out in my closet and since then has moved to a little hallway. It holds a lamp and a favorite photo of our boys when they were younger. Years ago, I gave it a fresh coat of white paint, but besides needing some repair on one or two of the drawers that I'm not even sure we'll ever do, this dresser has remained unchanged. This, ladies and gentlemen, is one of my timeless classics. Over the years, in all of our houses that were built in different eras, different styles, and throughout all the trends of my own personal style changes, this humble white dresser has always been able to fit right into the decor and serve us well. I keep loving it and using it and not hating it, and that's something to pay attention to. Your timeless classics might be specific to furniture like my dresser, or perhaps it's something like a silhouette that you've always loved, maybe a wingback chair. Maybe it's a pattern that you never tire of, like a houndstooth or stripes or toile. Maybe you loved mixing metals with your jewelry in high school, and you're still mixing metals today in your home with accessories and hardware. If there's a fabric that's always felt right to you, maybe velvet or denim or linen or leather or hide, pay attention to that. No matter what your timeless classics are, you've got to be aware of them. That way, you can have extra confidence when making decisions, purchases, or changes in your home, knowing you're more likely to love and use something for the long haul if it incorporates items you have a history with. Often, these timeless classics are the foundation for a soulful, personalized home that transcends the trends. Take a few minutes and walk around your house right now and look for your own timeless classics. What pieces have you had the longest and still love and still use? What style do you love no matter what the trends say? What fabrics or patterns feel timeless to you that you can always work into your home no matter what? Discovering what you've been drawn to all along will help you hone your personal style, embrace its quirks, and make confident decorating decisions. Okay, number 2 is to initiate inspiration. If you are pursuing a creative endeavor, From decorating a room, painting a canvas, planning a dinner party, it's imperative that you seek inspiration. Treat it as part of your job. Inspiration leads to motivation, and motivation leads to implementation. So, Cliff Notes, if you want to get creative tasks done, simply keep yourself inspired. That makes it seem easier, right? Have you ever gone to a huge antique mall and the individual booths are decked out to the max with over-the-top vignettes and beautiful styling? And even if you don't buy anything, you might snap some photos of inspiring ideas. And when you get home, you're suddenly super motivated to create a tablescape or restyle your mantle. Inspiration leads to motivation and can help remind us of implementing things we love. Where do you find inspiration? When was the last time you were inspired? Traveling, visiting the botanical gardens, going to musicals, taking walks, shopping at estate sales, walking through open houses, maybe taking a class or reading books and going to yard sales, meeting with new people. There is no wrong. How are you inspired? Seek that out and put yourself in situations where you are seeking out inspiration. One way I've been inspired lately is watching The Lost Kitchen with Erin French on the Magnolia Network. She's a chef, and although her food looks delicious, I'm not really inspired to cook when I watch her. I'm inspired to create. I'm reminded to push boundaries, to find creative solutions when things don't go the way I've planned, and to take risks. Watching other creatives create within imperfect circumstances has inspired me to find my own unique way and style. The third way to uncover your style is to discern your dollars. Walk around your house. What's the best money you spent on your home? In our previous home, we needed to upgrade the pool, which was well worth it. I added a skylight to my office, and we ended up hiring a professional to do some landscaping. These were all things that I hem and hawed over. Like, I was really worried if they would be worth the money. Did I want to spend it? And then looking back, they were some of, I don't know, it was like the best money that we spent on the house. And so that gives me confidence going forward, knowing what's important to me, what's important to Chad, what we want in our house. I want light. Someplace to hang out in a backyard is important to us. Having a pretty things and landscaping right by our door, we appreciate and value. So it's helpful to know that. In the past few years here at my new house, I made it my mission to find interesting lighting. Episode 3 was all about lamps. I called it the lamp episode, if you want to listen. Other things I've bought that felt worth the money here are just some neutral, timeless pieces, like our dining room table that we bought secondhand from the previous owners, the marble counters that we added in the kitchen. Understanding what felt worth it to me helps me make more confident decisions in the future. Maybe for you, it's a vintage rug, or maybe you decided on a particular wallpaper. You upgraded your duvet, or maybe you're going to pay to have a deck built. These decisions, especially things that turned out worthwhile and were worth your money, help you know what's worth it in your home and how you like to use your home. And once again, they give you future confidence in what to move forward with in both function and style. Let's end with a quote from the inside cover of Classic Style. Kate says, "Forget what's cool and trust your gut. The magic is in your mix. When you draw confidence from your classics, the pieces you come back to again and again, your style is your own. Classics let you do more and be more with less." Today's episode features house rule number 21. Style is found in the combinations, and house rule number 23, find your own timeless classics. Those are just two of the 100 house rules included in the brand new book called, you guessed it, House Rules, How to Decorate for Every Home, Style, and Budget. Oh, and how about we have a word from what Iris Apfel thought about rules. In her own words from the documentary, Iris, she said, "I don't have any rules because I would only be breaking them. So it's a waste of time." That's my girl. I like to think that she would have loved the House Rules book because the very first rule is to learn the rules, then break them beautifully. Listen, I want you to learn the rules of decorating and then break them. But I want you to break them with confidence, not because you don't know better, but because you know the room is going to be better. House Rules is available everywhere books are sold starting April 23rd, 2024. If you're listening to this before that date, you're extra lucky. You can pre-order now and reserve your copy. And as a thank you for pre-ordering, we've created a new masterclass called House Rules in Action. I invited a video crew to my home, and we walked through the rooms of my house, and I shared which rules helped me make decisions in every room. You'll also receive the audiobook for free, and that includes 5 extra house rules, and I read it to you. There's a link in the show notes to order your copy and claim your gifts.